What would you say is the number one cause of church problems? And what's the solution? I hope that by the time we get to the end of this message, we'll have a pretty good idea what the answers might be to those two questions. So I'm preaching a short series of messages about seven loves, or seven different kinds of love. Why am I doing this? Well, to encourage us all to renew our love in those seven areas. Firstly, we've seen our love for the Lord himself. Secondly, our love for the Bible, God's word. Thirdly, we saw our love for the gospel, the good news about salvation in Jesus. And then fourthly, we thought about our love for the truth. All these things are obviously related in different ways. And today we come to love number five, our love for one another. Our love for one another. And I'm going to base this message today on two verses of the Bible which we've just read, John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Let's just read those two verses again. John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And I've got five questions to ask about these words. Question number one, who? Question number two, when? Question number three, what? Question number four, how? And finally, question number five, why? The who, the when, the what, the how, and the why. So let's start with question number one. Who? Who said these words? Who said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another? Well, that's an easy question to answer, isn't it? I think we all know that it was Jesus himself who said it. I happen to be using a red letter Bible with all Jesus' words in red. And these two verses, John 13, 34 and 35, are all in red. But let me say three things about this first question, the question who. Firstly, the words of Jesus are not more inspired than the rest of the Bible. We need to be clear about that. The whole of the Bible is God's word. And every word that God inspired is equally God's word. There are not some words in the Bible that are in some way more God's word than other words in the Bible. That's why there shouldn't really be red letter Bibles. Because it can lead us to think wrongly that in some way Jesus' words in the Bible are in some way more inspired or more God's word than the rest of the words of the Bible. That is not the case. All the Bible's words are equally God's word, equally God-breathed. He breathed them out through the instrumentality of the people that wrote those words, guided by the Holy Spirit. So it would be a mistake for us to think that because we've got Jesus' words in red in some Bibles, or because it was Jesus that said it and not somebody else, that in some way that's in a different category from the rest of the Bible. No, all of God's word is God's word. There are not different categories or levels of inspiration between the words of the Bible. So that's the first thing. And secondly, if these words had been the words of the Apostle John, for example, the author of this fourth gospel, or if they'd been the words of the Apostle Paul, they wouldn't have been any less important or any less God's word. And then thirdly, about this first question, the question who. Having said all that I've just said, the fact that these words were spoken by Jesus and not by somebody else is nevertheless important. And it's important because of what he said. He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Now listen to this. As I have loved you, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And I suggest that no one else could have said those words, as I have loved you, in the same way and with the same sense in which our Lord said those words. Yes, John himself could have written, as I have loved you. The Apostle Paul could have said, as I have loved you. But no one else could say those words, as I have loved you, in the same way that the Lord Jesus Christ said and still says to us today those words, as I have loved you. And although Jesus said those words to his first disciples, to his first followers, we today ought to read these words and hear these words as if Jesus were here with us in person, saying these words to you and to me right now. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So that's question number one, who? Let's move on to question number two, when? When did Jesus say these words here in John chapter 13? If the first question, who said these words, was an easy question to answer, this second question, when did Jesus say these words, may be a question that might not even have occurred to us to ask. What does it matter, we may think, when Jesus said these words? He said them, didn't he? That's the important thing, not when he said them. Well, maybe it does matter. Maybe it matters a lot when he said those words. Jesus said these words the night before his death on the cross. Jesus said these words only a few hours before being betrayed, arrested, tried, condemned, tortured, and executed. Jesus said these words only 6 weeks or so before his ascension, before his return to heaven and to his Father. Now, why do I say all of that? Well, because very soon after saying these words, a new commandment I give to you, and so on, Jesus would no longer be seen in this world. The only thing that people would have in order to be able to see him from then on would be his followers, his disciples. That was why it was going to be so important for his disciples to love one another, because they, his disciples, his followers, were going to be the only visible body of Christ in this world from then on. Because with the head of the body now in heaven, and only the body itself left here on earth, it was going to be so important for the body to reflect the head in this world. And how would they do that? Well, according to our Lord himself, by loving one another as he had loved them. That was how his body, the church, would reflect his love as the head of the body to the people of this world. By loving each other, by loving one another, in the same way in which he had shown his wonderful love for them. So do you see, brothers and sisters, why it's so important for us who are believers today to love one another as the Lord has loved and still loves us? So question number one was the question who. Question number two was the question when. And now we move on to question number three, which is the question what. What are these words of our Lord? Well, they are a commandment, are they not? A commandment of Jesus addressed to his followers. A new commandment, he said, I give to you, that you love one another. Yes, it was a new commandment, but it was still a commandment. A commandment addressed to his first followers, but also a commandment addressed to all his future followers, including us today, if we are followers of him. And there's a sense in which we don't like commandments, do we? Because we don't like being told what to do and what not to do. We want to be free. And we sometimes think that commandments are something that belongs to the Old Testament of the Bible, not to the New Testament of the Bible. We sometimes associate commandments with what we call legalism, don't we? And well, we don't want to be legalists, do we? And we think it's more spiritual to do good things when we really feel like doing them, not just in order to obey commandments. And yet, throughout the Bible, love is something that God commands us to do. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. What's that? According to Jesus, it's the first of all the commandments. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. What's that? It's the number two commandment, isn't it? Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. Yet another commandment. Love your enemies. Another commandment. And what we have here in John 13, 34 and 35 is a new commandment. Yes, love is meant to be more than just a matter of obeying commandments. Love is meant to be felt. It's meant to be a thing of the heart, of course. But Jesus didn't say to those first followers of his, well, Peter and James and John and Andrew and the rest of you, I really hope that you all feel like loving one another. That would be great. But if that doesn't happen, well, I mean, we can't control who we love, can we? No, Jesus didn't speak like that. He said to his followers, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. He was saying directly to his first disciples, love one another, love one another. And if we are Christians, then the Lord commands us to love one another. And listen to this from the next chapter of John, John 14, 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. In other words, if we don't love one another, which is one of Jesus' commandments to us, then we don't really love the Lord himself either. He who has my commandments, like this commandment to love one another, and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and no one else. If we don't love one another, then as hard as this may sound to our ears, if we don't love one another, then we do not really love him either. The two things go together. So the question for us today and every day is, do we really love the Lord? How easy it is to say the words. How easy it is to say, yes, of course we love the Lord. But the Lord himself is saying to us, if you really love me, then you will love my commandments. You will keep my commandments. And one of them is, love one another. That is one of the ways in which we are to show our love for the Lord himself. When we love one another, we are also loving our Lord. So question number one, who? Question number two, when? Question number three was what? And now question number four, how? How should we love one another? And this fourth question takes us to the very heart of this message today. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, said Jesus. And the million-dollar question is, What was new about that commandment? A new commandment I give to you. What was new about it? I mean, hasn't it always been God's will for people to love one another? Yes. But the part of this commandment that was new was the last part of it, not the first part. Jesus said to them, "As I have loved you, that you also love one another." That was the new bit of this commandment. Not the commandments in and of itself to love one another, but the idea of loving one another in the same way in which He, the Lord, had loved them and loved us. It is in that way that we are to love one another. That was what was new about it, that had never been said before. Jesus wasn't just telling those first followers of His to love one another. He was telling them to love one another as He had loved and still loved them. So how had Jesus loved them? As I have loved you, how had He loved them? Well, He had loved them even before the creation of the world, by readily accepting His role in their salvation. Before time began, before God created the universe, before He created anything, God already had His plan of salvation. And in that plan, the Son of God was willing to be the one to come all the way from heaven and live in this world and give His life to save sinners like us. So even before creation, Jesus was already showing His love for those who would be His people, His disciples. He had loved them by coming from heaven, by becoming one of them, but without sin, by taking to Himself their humanity. He had loved them by living a normal human life, first as a baby, then as a child, as a young man and as a man. He had loved them by keeping the whole law of God for them in their place. Every minute of every day for 33 long years, He had loved them for suffering so much, by suffering so much for them. Yes, all the normal sufferings of life in this fallen world, plus all that He suffered as the despised and rejected Messiah and Savior, not forgetting the terrible suffering that awaited Him that very night when He said those words, "A new commandment I give to you." Think of all that Jesus was about to suffer that very night and the next day. Because within less than 24 hours, He would be dead and buried. And that was how Jesus had loved them and would continue to love them. Look at the first verse of this chapter, John chapter 13. What a wonderful phrase we have here. Before the feast of the Passover, John 13, 1, when Jesus knew that His hour had come, that He should depart from this world to the Father. Now listen to this. Having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. That is the measure of Jesus' love for His disciples. Having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. And I've been talking about them, those first followers of His. But where I've said them, I now say us. Because it's also true that Jesus loved us before the creation of the world by volunteering to come to be our Savior. He loved us by coming from heaven and becoming one of us, by taking on our humanity. He loved us by living that normal human life as a baby and a child and a young man and a man. He loved us by keeping all God's laws, something that we could never do. He did it for us so that His obedience and righteousness might count as if it were ours. He loved us by suffering all that He suffered in this world, all those normal sufferings of life, tiredness and hunger and so on, but also all that He suffered in a special way as that despised and rejected Messiah and Savior, the terrible sufferings of Gethsemane and the sufferings of the cross, of course. All of those sufferings. He, Jesus, the Son of God, went through all of that out of love for people like you and me. And now he says to us, as I have loved you in all these and other ways, that you also love one another. That's how we should love one another. That's the answer to the question, how, the fourth question, how. And the answer is, how? As Jesus loved and still loves us. That is how we are to love one another. So think about the plan of salvation. Think about the incarnation. Think about Jesus' life. Think about his obedience to his Father. Think about all his sufferings. Think about Jesus in Gethsemane. Think about Jesus that terrible Friday. Those 6 hours on the cross. It wasn't just physical suffering, which was bad enough. But in the case of Jesus, unlike in the case of the thieves on either side of him, on their respective crosses, but Jesus was carrying the weight of a world's sins, our sins, every one of your sins and mine, if we are believers today, was crushing our Savior, the Lord Jesus, on the cross. And we're meant to reflect on that. And yes, love him in response to his amazing love for us. But not only love him, as we reflect on these truths, we are meant to love one another as he loved and loves us. Do you know what the real problem with our church or churches is? It's not just our church, it's every church. The real problem is that we don't do this. We do not love each other as Jesus loved us and loves us. We don't. And I believe that that is the real, not the only, but the real cause of so many of our problems as churches. That we're still such a long way to go before we really start loving each other in the same way in which the Son of God loved us and gave himself for us. And it's because we don't do that, we don't love each other in that way, that we get into all the different church problems that so often afflict us. Most of those problems would not exist if we loved each other with just a little more of Jesus' love for us. As I have loved you, he said, you also love one another. When we read and when we hear these words of our Lord, the only fitting response is humility, brokenness, confession, and repentance. Because we haven't yet obeyed this commandment. We haven't yet loved each other with that Christ-like love. So we've seen the first four questions, who and when and what and how. Now we come to our fifth and final question, and it's the question, why? Why? Why should we love each other like that? We can answer that question in any number of ways. We should love one another like that because the one we call Lord tells us to love each other like that. It's a question of obedience. We should love one another like that because if we're Christians, we're spiritual brothers and sisters. And brothers and sisters are meant to love each other. And we're brothers and sisters if we're Christians. We should love each other like that because we have all the most important things in common. Yes, we are all different, aren't we? We all have our differences, but the differences are nothing compared to what we have in common. Our common humanity, but also, and more importantly, our commonness as fellow Christians. We've been saved by the same grace and love of God. We believe the same things about the Bible and God and man and sin and salvation and so many other things. We have all the most important things. We're on the same road leading to the same eternal destiny in the presence of God forever. We have all those things and so many more in common. And all those things are so much more important than the secondary differences that exist between us. And that is another reason why we should love one another. We have more in common with each other as fellow Christians than we have with anyone else in this world. We are the family of all families, or we ought to be. But Jesus himself gave his first followers another reason. Another reason why they should love one another as he had loved them and still loved them. He said, by this, by your loving each other as I have loved you, by this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. How will people really know that we're followers of Jesus? Not first and foremost by the name on the front of our church. Not first and foremost by what we do at 10:30 on Sunday mornings. Not first and foremost even by our doctrines, as important as they are. Not first and foremost by our services, our meetings and our activities each week, as good as they may be. All those things are important, some of them more than others. But what Jesus said was that people would know that we were his disciples, his followers, by our Christ-like love for one another. That was how, he said, people would know that those first disciples and all of us who've come along since then, how people would know that we really were Christians, Christ followers, by loving each other in a way that reflected his own wonderful love for us. In other words, the Lord wants us to love one another as he loved and loves us still, so that when people see his love reflected in our love for one another, they will know that we belong to him, that we really are Christians. Why is that important? Why does the Lord want people to know that we're his followers? Surely it is so that they too will want to be followers of Jesus. When they see Jesus' love being expressed in our love for each other, in our relationships as fellow believers, then God will use that love, as imperfect as it will be, but he will use that love to draw other people and to make them attracted, not to our love, but to the love of the Lord that they see something of in us. In other words, the more of the Lord's love that people can see in us and among us, the more they will be attracted to him and to his love too. So the exhortations, brothers and sisters, continue. Yes, love the Lord. Love the Bible. Love the gospel. Love the truth. Love one another. We're not saved by doing any of those things for the simple reason that we are not saved by any love of our own. Our love does not save us. We're saved by God's amazing love for us, not by some love of ours. But He wants us, the Lord wants us, to reflect His love for us in our love for one another and for others. And that's why He gave us this new commandment. And He's giving it to us again today. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Amen.